Hello, welcome to the Gameslate Podcast, episode 150. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
I'm Zelda Queen.
And special guest...
Hummingbird.
And we're here to discuss the gaming we did this last week. Or lack thereof.
Yeah, you guys played games. You were saying that you went through the Mines of Madness.
We played D&D games.
Yes.
I think Mines of Madness has kind of become a legendary... Can you actually live through this? And if not, how many lives did it take you?
Well, I mean, the question is, how long does it take for something to become legendary? Because this is... only a few months old.
I thought Mines of Madness was older than that.
No, this is brand new. This was written by Scott Kurtz and Chris Perkins, I think, if I'm remembering right.
Oh, okay.
For the... I'm trying to remember. PAX. For PAX East.
Oh, I thought it was older than that for some reason.
No, there's Caves of Chaos, which is really old. There's Tomb of Horrors, which is really old, which is sort of the inspiration... Basically, it's those... Those older D&D modules that are essentially an enormous, complex death trap is what the Mines of Madness is based on. Especially Tomb of Horrors, wherein there is a point in the Tomb of Horrors where if you manage to get through all the traps, there is a button, bodangle, whatever, that you can hit that will trigger all of the traps simultaneously. Some of them are things that can still find you in that room.
Well, that would suck.
So this is when you had the really paranoid, you know, parties, you know, after you've lost a couple people, you're like,
okay, we move 5 feet forward, we check everything for traps and secret doors, everything.
Why am I just picturing that, Order of the Stick comic now?
Which one?
The one where, Bailey, or I think, was it Haley?
Haley.
Checks for a door for traps several times. Doesn't find any, and then Roy opens it, and there's like 30 traps attached to the door.
Yeah. There's honey and fire ant.
And poison, and acid, and paralyzing poison.
And saw blades.
And scythes.
Yeah.
And this is why the DM's favorite phrase is, you find no traps.
So you said there were no traps. I said you find no traps.
Let's see if there is or is not the existence of traps.
It just means you weren't able to find any. And I think the DMs take extra special pleasure when you trip the trap immediately after he says you don't find any.
Yeah.
Anywho, so biggest news in the gaming universe as of Tuesday was the Xbox One officially got an announcement. It was temporarily thought to be called the Xbox Infinity for a little bit, but I think they went with Xbox One. Maybe to reflect that it's supposed to be an all-in-one unit for your home, as in you're gonna pop your cable box through it, you're gonna be able to watch your Blu-rays and DVDs on it, it's got a video game recorder in it, and it is always watching you.
Personally, I think they just picked Xbox One to try and confuse all the, you know, grandmas and grandpas who will be trying to buy it and be, you know, I want that first Xbox! Like, we don't sell those anymore. No, that Xbox One! You know, the first one!
Well, I think somebody summed it up just right. What's it matter what they named it? My grandmother's still going to call it a Nintendo.
Oh, that's too true.
So, the name aside, I think they actually still did a better naming scheme than Nintendo has in their past two systems.
Wii and Wii U.
Woo!
Why can't we call it the Dolphin? Or, you know, some of those other code names that it had? Because those... Even Nintendo Dolphin sounds better than Nintendo Wii U.
So, I'll give them Xbox One is not that overly bad as a name. But...
We just got really unoriginal with naming our consoles.
Sony's never been original. PS1, PlayStation 1, PlayStation, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3. And now, coming this holiday season, PlayStation 4. They don't even bother with it. I mean, they actually have code names, but it's like, why bother?
I see no reason.
Yeah, I guess it just doesn't matter.
Anywho. But one of the things that people are worried about is the fact that Kinect, as long as your Xbox has power to it, the Kinect has power to it, which means it's always on and listening to you. The bad thing about this is Big Brother could potentially always be watching. There's always going to be an eye in the living room or a voice in the living room paying attention. And this could be viewed as a major downside of the console as far as privacy is concerned.
Yeah, I really don't want anybody to know what I'm doing in my own living room. Especially because I found a Tumblr blog that explained it very well. Like, some of the possible issues, which I'm just like, guys. Like, we were talking about, say you're watching a movie on there, and well, the Kinect camera can see how many people are watching that movie. Maybe there's a limit. Maybe it's you and three other people can watch this movie, so there's four of you, and hey, a fifth friend comes over, steps into the room, stops the movie, instantly pops up there. You have to pay X amount for this additional person to finish watching the film, because you're going over your legal license rights of how many people can view this particular piece of...
See, I'm going to be the bright side person. I think that's being a little bit on the paranoia side of everything. Here's the thing I view about it, though, and this was my first thought when I saw this. Is like, oh, that's actually kind of really futuristic. Cool how you can just turn it on by saying Xbox on, and it recognizes the voice of who says it and automatically locks them in. I mean, I'm a big Trekkie. Many of you may know this. And so when I look at something that looks like it could be something right out of Star Trek, my first thought is, well, that's pretty cool. And I don't think about how this technology could be used to...
be evil?
Yeah, I don't look at the evil aspects of it. I look, if I want this technology, this is a side effect I have to accept. This is the part of it that if I want to move forward in this fashion, I have to accept that this will be in this state all the time. And, I mean, I'm not thinking that they're going to use it to count how many people are watching something. Or, at least as I said, I'm hoping that's not what they're going to do. And I'm hoping they're not going to have it constantly transmitting video over the internet. I mean, they did say that the system does need to connect to the internet at least once a day to check your DRM rights, I think is how it's going to, what they're thinking, because in order to control the sale of used and pirated games, which we'll get into that whole debacle here in a second. That's the only part that's really got me irritated about this whole new system, is how they're going to treat used games. And I don't even really buy used games that often.
I mean, I only buy them, you know, something once in a while, but anymore I buy a used game, it's something that I'm like, I can't find new anymore, or it's really old, or, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, it just, I feel like Xbox, like, here's a system, but we are going to nickel and dime you for every single transaction or thing that's going on.
I don't even think it's Microsoft that wants it, that's enforcing that part. I honestly think it's the publishers.
I don't know, considering how hard they're making it for indie developers to release content on their system, I think it's more of a, you know, Microsoft, you know, maybe on the part of the publisher, but, you know, Microsoft's their own publisher, too.
True. But, I mean, here's the part that bugs me about it. Like, currently I've loaned you guys a video game. Under this new method, that is completely and totally pointless unless I also loan you guys my Xbox account.
You'd have to literally haul your Xbox over here.
Well, I can log into my account from your Xbox, even without having to bring the Xbox here. So, like, I could bring the game over, log into my account, we could play it here, but unless I leave my account login established over here, you guys won't be able to play the game if I were to leave it with you.
Yeah.
And, I mean, here's the ridiculous part is, they're saying that used games could cost up to the full price of the game in the first place.
Well, yeah, because they basically, you're not owning the game. Like, physically, right now, if I go and buy a copy, I own that copy. But now they're just trying to say, okay, you're going to pay us money, but you're paying for a licensing fee, which is really different. It's basically saying, okay, I'm giving you permission to have this for a set number of time, but I can take it back whenever I want. It's kind of like that with, like, ebooks. I forget which one it was, but a lot of people bought it, and somebody had, like, I think the publisher or something had an issue. So they actually physically removed everybody's copy off of their
Kindles. I remember my Amazon can do that. They refund you the money, but they just remove you. They can remotely wipe books from your system the moment it connects to a network.
Yeah.
And I know maybe we're just... I know in PC games, it has never really been possible to use games in PC, especially at least not once they instituted one-time use serial keys, and we can't do it with Steam, and that's something we've come to expect. So maybe in about 5-10 years, we'll just expect it to be this way. We'll expect everything to be, you buy a game, it gets associated with your account, and you don't need the disc anymore. But right now, that's not how the world works, and it's irritating people, and I mean, it's going to, like, Gamefly, if Sony does something like this similar on their system, they just haven't actually fully announced that, this will put Gamefly out of business. because they can't rent a game that way.
Well, they're not renting. They're selling.
No, Gamefly rents.
Oh, Gamefly. Sorry. I'm thinking GameSpot.
GameStop.
Yeah.
Yeah, GameStop, they'll lose the majority of their income. Because, the majority of their income does not come from selling new games. It comes from reselling games. And while they'll still be able to resell the discs, when people get home, they'll still have to pay that licensing charge, whatever it is.
Yeah, so you're basically paying twice. You're paying twice as much for buying a used game as you would a new game.
It seems like Gamefly would be able to work something out. They'd be able to rent licenses, essentially. In some way.
Well, the only way I could see it maybe working, and this would take a lot of back-end work, is they'll have to create an app for the Xbox One that you'll log into with your account that says that it's all right for you that you have this game rented out at this time. Because the rumor is, like, right now you can install a game to an Xbox hard drive, but you still have to put in the disc to play it. Mm-hmm. Now you'll be able to install that game, pull out the disc, and you don't even need to put the disc in again.
Yeah, because basically you have to load games to the hard disk. You don't play them directly from a disc anymore.
Yeah, well, they might be able to do something similar to, like, what a lot of libraries are doing with renting ebooks. Because they have, method for that, at least.
I mean, there's a whole... This entirely just changes how everything works, to be perfectly honest. So, I mean, I'm not counting them out yet. I honestly did like how a lot of the Xbox One stuff looked. I liked the idea of three operating systems in the system, one for their OS, one for their like primarily overlay that you interact with, one for games and videos, and another one that actually ties the two together. That allows you to do the thing they were showing, like they had a movie up, they shrunk down the movie, they snapped Internet Explorer next to it, and we were able to do searches and related stuff while they were still watching their movie, and there was zero slowdown whatsoever. Now, I'm assuming this works as advertised, and this isn't all just PR magic they're using during their show.
I guess I'm still the weird one. I don't want my game system to be able to do everything.
I don't mind reducing the amount of stuff I have on my entertainment system. I mean, right now, I don't own a dedicated DVD or Blu-ray player. I have my PlayStation 3 and my Xbox and my Wii U. But I don't have a dedicated DVD or Blu-ray player anymore. And I don't know. I like where they're going. There's a lot of stuff I'm unsure of. I'm looking forward to seeing more of, the actual reason why I would buy the Xbox One games in the next 2 weeks now? Approximately 2 weeks.
You'll leave in 2 weeks on Monday. Or today.
Yeah.
Yeah. For E3.
So, I don't know. I'm interested. What about you, Hummingbird? Do you have any ideas on this? Because I've been kind of just talking. You've been sitting there thinking, thank God they haven't asked me for my opinion on anything.
No, I like it. I can't help it. Things like that won't bother me. Me and my friends don't exchange games back and forth. We just go to each other's houses and play. I'm not super worried about that. I do like the idea that one machine could do everything. And, what was another issue? Oh, the, like, eye in the room. I guess I don't really care. What are they going to do with me cussing at falling off of ledges? I don't really mind that going anywhere.
And see, this is something interesting. He's a different generation than us, so he views this much differently than we do.
Yeah. I mean, it has the ripe potential to be abused. And I mean, we're basically putting good faith into people to not abuse it. And sometimes, best intentions go awry. I think it just needs to be watched. But I'm like, I've never been super invested in the Xbox. So I'm like, I don't care. I'm not going to buy one.
I might buy two.
I don't know if I'd buy two because it's a little bulky, honestly. Anybody else think this thing looks like an old-style VCR minus the flashing digital 12?
I haven't really seen a picture of it.
It's a square.
All consoles are square.
But there is no curve on this console. It is a square. You could poke someone's eye out.
It's like a GameCube, but it's a game rectangle.
It looks even more dangerous than a GameCube.
It looks like a monolith. It looks like my parents especially like from this angle, it kind of looks silver. My parents' first VCR was a silver box. It was gigantic. The remote control is attached with a tether to it. Yeah. It costs extra if you wanted one that took batteries and didn't have a tether.
Like, one thing that's nice about it, and one of my friends that I used to work with that I still talk with on a pretty regular basis, he stated that this new system is more powerful than his current computer.
That, yeah, it's more currently powerful than the computer I'm currently using at work for, you know.
8-core processor, 8 gigabytes of RAM, 500 gigabyte hard drive, which we do not have full access to because the OS is installed on that 500 gigs.
Yeah, I don't want to accidentally delete that. I'm sure that's catastrophic.
Blu-ray drive, built-in Wi-Fi, HDMI in and out, so basically you plug your cable box HDMI in and then out to your TV.
See, I was hearing stuff about that too, that you actually, if you want to use it for your cable box, you actually have to spend more money because you actually have to buy, you know, basically stuff for your Xbox to run it. It's basically better just to go buy DirecTV. Yeah.
I hadn't heard that at all because they basically talked how it's just a pass-through.
Well, hopefully it's just a pass-through, but some people are like, nope, they're going to make you try to buy, you know, an Xbox account to be able to run half of this stuff. I really should find that.
Yeah, I hadn't heard anything about it.
I had an interesting article that broke things down really well. It started with like, the stuff that we had talked about, you know, like how these games are going to work and how it has to always be on and all that sort of stuff. And then it started getting into, like, okay, this stuff here, they're like, it's just speculative. But it could have the potential for abuse. So I will have to find this article here. I read it last night on Tumblr.
Anywho, while she looks for that, I'm going to kind of pass on the Xbox One talking for now, and we'll kind of move into the other stuff. Fire Emblem, huh?
Yes! I forget what Fire Emblem's called. Help me.
Awakening.
Awakening. Thank you. I had a $15 gift card to Target. I got the last copy. It was the display copy, even. Woohoo! So I got a price break on it.
10% discount?
Yeah, I made $40. Instead of $40, it was $25, so.
Ooh, nice.
Pretty decent.
That's why I don't mind buying display stuff, because sure, there's it's like...
Oh, no, it was sealed new in the box. It's just that, I don't know if you've been to Target recently in their game section. What it is they have all the cases there, and everything's locked up, but they have, like, a plastic case holder that sits in front of all the copies behind it. And so what it is inside of that plastic case holder is where they just put in a game to use as the picture, basically. So they had nothing in... back in, like, I could look behind it and there's no stock behind it. I was like, oh no, can I still get it? Yeah! They just take out the copy there, so it's totally completely out. So it's not like there's a little placeholder there and people say, I want this game! Sorry, we're out.
Interesting.
Now, I've been having fun with it. I haven't been able to play it all this past week, which makes me very, very sad. Darn you outdoors, but...
Curse it being beautiful and good time to do stuff.
I have to get all my plants in the ground. We got all our plants in the ground, so things will be slightly less crazy this coming week. But I've been having fun. It's basically a sort of a turn-based strategy. You have unique characters that have different classes and abilities that you get together, and you go across maps, you know, destroying, you know, the enemy opposing forces. Basically, you get to move all on your turn, then the enemies do all their turn, and you kind of go back and forth like that. It's not like Final Fantasy Tactics, where everybody has their own initiative, so you and the enemies can, you know, move at different times and such. The characters are interesting and fun. Some of them are a little bit stereotyped, but others, you know, a little bit more well-rounded, and they just sometimes they have very interesting dialogue between each other. Because characters sort of build relationships as they're fighting on the battlefield, which is good, because you want them to, because you get bonuses and different ability, you know, basically, you get bonuses for units being next to each other attacking another unit, but if a unit attacks you, you also get, you know, defensive abilities and such, like, you might get extra evade or extra defense and that sort of stuff. Right now, currently, my main character, which is your avatar in this game, your avatar character in Virion, who is the archer, they have a really good rapport. I'm up to grade level A for, you know, their ability matching. So if they're next to each other on the battlefield, they give each other really good bonuses. But their dialogue happening in between is really funny, because I don't know if it's because my characters, I have a female character, and, you know, Virion is this sort of, like, I love all the ladies, but he's more of a gentleman. He's not, like, the, you know, player sort in that respect. So him and I are always playing chess. That's his thing. We always play chess to, you know, get better at strategy. Because I'm a tactician, and everything's strategy for me. I don't know. I've been having fun. Maybe Hummingbird can, you know, pipe in a little bit more.
This is probably the only Fire Emblem released in the U.S. that I don't own. I have loved the series since they first released the GBA titled Fire Emblem years ago. That was the 7th game in the title, or in the series. The rest of them are only in Japanese. But yeah, I think it's a great series. It's probably up there with stuff like Legend of Zelda for my favorite series of games. The gameplay is awesome. I mean, but that's only half of it. I really love the character development. Even the hilariously stereotypical characters really keep me entertained. But, yeah, I definitely enjoy that game a lot.
So, if you had to give it a 1 to 5, where would you place it at?
5.
5? I might try and give it a 6 if that was...
If I could sneak it by you. Turn the dial up to 11!
He'll give it a 5 and a piece of cake.
And a piece of cake, yeah.
Or in Zelda Queen's version, 5 and a piece of pie.
Oh, how can you not love cake?
I'm sorry, I'm a weird person. I don't really like cake. I don't really like donuts or pastries and that sort of stuff.
You know something? That means I have 2 friends who don't really like cake, so I can't consider you that weird. It's because there's 2 of you.
Who? But there's only 2. It's
Tiger
not...
Hawk.
I finally found the article.
So did they cite any sources for their hearsay, or is it just plain hearsay?
No, we got sources. We got stuff from, like, Kotaku and other places, like... It's a bit of a read, but the person kind of goes through and breaks him down, saying, this is where I found this information. And most of it, you know, is pretty, you know, from... As long as, you know, the gaming websites aren't, you know, blowing smoke, where, you know, we got some stuff like IGN... Video Games 24/7, Techno Buffalo, Kotaku, Verge, Extreme MeTech, and then, yeah, I think some of the speculation down below. Well, we have other things. Oh, there's also there's no backwards compatibility.
You know, here's the thing about
Xbox.
Here's the thing about the backwards compatibility argument that I don't fault them on. One of the reasons that I heard was, it could be licensing. Like, when I bought Borderlands 2, the box says that it's on PC, Xbox 360, and PS3. That could be because that's all it's their license to have it on. It's all it's licensed to be on, and in order to put it on another, have it on another console, it could not be licensed that way. 2, backwards compatibility, nobody gave a damn about it until the PS2 did it. So it's actually a relatively short-lived thing in the gaming sphere. Yes, our PC games are worked on one PC to the next, as long as they weren't programmed to work off of processor clock speed. Do not try to play original Ski-Free on computers nowadays. You will not do well.
Does it go really fast?
It's programmed based on the clock speed of your processor.
I'm going to say yes!
Yes. But, I think they have updated versions of it that are like programmed in Flash, but the original games were programmed based off your computer's clock speed. So the faster your computer went, the faster the game actually physically went. Like, you may remember Windows 98, how the solitaire cards, when you beat it, they went lightning fast.
Yeah.
That's because they were using code from like the Windows 3.1 versions where it was based on clock speed.
This kind of explains why when I tried to install Wing Commander Prophecy, which was a 95-era game, onto a newer system, that the cinema scenes just went, and then it was like, cinema scene over. I'm like,
exactly.
And I was sad because I had Mark Hamill and I can never remember the actor's name, the guy who plays Biff in Back to the Future.
I can never remember Biff.
Actor's name.
I'm so sorry, Biff actor. I feel bad. I can never, ever remember his name. I can remember everybody else, but not him. And he's, you know, Biff Tannen. Thomas Wilson.
Yeah, so Thomas Wilson.
There you go.
So, yeah. Anywho, I mean, backwards compatibility is not a very long-term thing. I mean, the Xbox 360 wasn't even 100% backwards compatible with Xbox games. We're just, the only reason people expect this, I think, is because they use the same median. I mean, I'd never expected an NES title to work on an SNES, and I didn't expect an SNES title to work on my 64.
Yeah, I guess it's easier with discs because of the way it works. My thing is, like, man, I'm just going to have to hold on to all these old systems because I'm going to have, if I ever want to play anything ever again, I have to have it.
Well, and the kicker is, I mean, they do eventually reprogram these games for the other systems. And, you know, you could complain about that's just them trying to be money-grubbing, but it works. I mean, I think I was reading this one thing on Game Insider the other day about why people would buy the PS4, and the majority of people said to play a revamped Final Fantasy VII. Not for a new Final Fantasy game, but a revamped Final Fantasy VII is the majority reason people would buy a new console.
I can't do that. I'm like, see, VII was my turning point where I'm like, every time a Final Fantasy got released, my enjoyment started down-tracking. Down. Down. And down.
So
I wish they would not do... I wish... Yeah, no Final Fantasy VII revamp for me. I don't care. If you're going to revamp a Final Fantasy game, I want six. Give me six.
So, backwards compatibility does not bug me, and I don't think it's something people should just expect from console manufacturers. Because it's only been in two generations of consoles. Maybe.
PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3.
PlayStation 3 only did it for the first ones, too. It stopped after the first iteration of the PlayStation 3 when they released the second generation of it. It stopped doing the backwards compatibility.
I guess the thing is with Nintendo, most of the stuff that I would play is like really old games that they're like, oh, we can just re-release this or just as a download because with computing stuff nowadays, it's like, oh my gosh. I mean, I can get Legend of Zelda as a port download for my DS, which is insane to me, but it's so small, you know, technology-wise.
Yeah, the only thing I think that might hurt them on the backwards compatibility front is you cannot play the games you downloaded from the XBLA for the 360 on the Xbox One.
Oh, and some people...
That's the only part I think that will hurt them. So games like, I know a lot of people really like the Skullgirls fighting game. I'm going to use it as the example because it's the one I hear about a lot. They're not going to be able to play it on Xbox One.
No Minecraft?
No Minecraft. Guess. They'll have to reprogram that for Xbox One.
Not cool.
So, I mean, that's the only thing I think that might hurt them on the backwards compatibility front is the pure digital aspects. But again, backwards compatibility has only been around for two generations of consoles, maybe.
Oh, that just makes me think of a whole other can of worms, mostly just because I'm thinking of my Adobe. Adobe's decided to help combat piracy of Photoshop and Illustrator, and I think just for them to try a different model as well. They're getting rid of all their physical discs. You can't, there's probably stuff still out there because they've made so many and they have to get rid of all those physical copies, but they kind of stopped making physical copies, but you can only get it now.
They will still sell the most recent version of Creative Suite. They just won't update it with the newest features that you will on the subscription model.
Yeah, they just really want you to get the subscription model. But I was thinking about this with the Xbox Live, especially with the 360. Okay, I spent all this money on getting all this, you know, downloadable content. As long as I still, you know, pay for my Xbox Live account, that sort of stuff, I can do it. But eventually, sometime in the future, I mean, who knows? I might still be a diehard and just using it. You know, Microsoft could say, okay, we're done, you know, supporting these servers for this technology that's 5 years old. We really want you to move on to the new stuff, so we're going to just, you know, stop supporting it. Which means you're not going to be able to access your stuff that you bought. And that sucks.
And that's happened when MMOs, and it really sucks for those people that have actually shelled out then for the MMOs in the $60 initial price, and then paid and paid and paid and paid. I mean, heck, actually, we've all been there how much we've spent on World of Warcraft for the initial purchases, and then don't play it anymore. I mean, I've shelled out, you know, I have three collector's editions?
See, we...
Four collector's editions, and then I got the regular edition of Mist of Pandaria, and I maybe only played Mist of Pandaria for 2 months, and then I stopped my subscription again.
But see, you're stopping, you know, paying for it. I guess it's just like, it's like, if I buy a DVD, as long as I don't break it or lose it or something, I can still watch it. Until all the technology changes again. I think that's the problem, is everything is changing so fast, and we're sort of in that weird gray area where we're trapped between physical and digital media. We're not completely 100% digital, we're not completely 100% physical anymore. And we gotta sort of have a discussion again, what does it mean to own something?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if somebody said, okay, we're gonna give you a licensing thing where you only get to have this thing for X amount of time for a cheaper price, I could see that, you know, sort of thing. But I don't want to have, you know... I mean, it sucks when I, like, my Wii, you know, after it got stolen, if I got a new Wii, I'd have to repay for all those purchases of stuff that I did off the online thing, because it's not really an account tie-in or anything that I can prove is my stuff. And that just sucks. So again, it's just that weird middle-of-the-road thing. Steam, you know, is working better because everything's tied, but then there's the whole thing, it's like, there's two of us. I hate having to buy two copies of one thing when there's two of us in the household, and I'm just like... I wish there was some sort of household thing where I could pay a little bit more, but not 100% full price, because I don't need to... I just need the license. I don't need another copy of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. We'll just have to see. This is all, like, future discussion that...
We're seeing a lot of changes made that not everybody's necessarily happy with.
We gotta see how it works. We gotta see how things play out, and... The best way we're going to do it is if we have the conversation, especially as consumers telling people, you know, these companies, this is what we like, this is what we don't like, especially after we've tried it for a while. Because unless we do that, everyone's going to just say, okay, every time you want to plug in an extra controller, it's going to be $5 to add that additional person to play this game. I mean, we don't want that.
No.
We got to make sure it doesn't go to that point, but we got to say we're not willing to do it.
I do think we're going to see things move more towards the subscription access model. Like, right now with Netflix and Hulu, we pay a monthly fee, and I pay it with Funimation too, in order to access this much content. By paying the fee, I have access to it in this way, and as long as I pay that monthly fee, I still have access to it. Once I stop paying it, I no longer have the access. That's how I'm kind of seeing it. I'm going to move on real quick because, wow, this has been running a while.
Well, we've been having philosophical discussions about game systems and what their...
Game systems and what the future of actually having media means.
Yeah.
Star Trek Into Darkness came out last weekend. And if you are a Star Trek fan, go see it. It's freaking awesome. If you're a science fiction fan, still go see it. It's freaking awesome. They are basically continuing the redo of the Generation. Leonard Nimoy does once again have his cameo within the movie, and it was a very worthwhile cameo. I mean, I don't want to give away any spoilers.
No spoilers, I haven't seen it yet.
But I will say there was a moment, and I'll admit, I felt something welling up in my eye during part of the movie. It was like, it was emotionally moving. And yeah, I mean, it's a great movie.
Is it a good summer blockbuster?
Oh, hell yeah.
I haven't been to the theater in... Since The Hobbit! There we go. It tells you how often I go to the movie
this
theater.
This is a movie you will want to see in theaters, in my opinion. I had one for... I haven't seen it in 3D, but I have had a few friends that saw it that said it was actually pretty worthwhile in 3D as well.
3D kind of makes me a little sick. So.
However, yeah, I don't care for having to fit the glasses over my glasses.
Even when I don't do that, it's still, I'm just like, if you don't sometimes sit in a sort of a sweet spot, it's like playing on the 3DS. It's like, I can do it for a little while, then I'm just like, nope, just gonna shut this off. I'm glad there's an option to shut it off.
And plus, I'll play the 3D function of the 3DS for maybe 10 minutes, and then I turn it off. And that's when I'm doing the long sessions of 3D. But yeah, it's a great movie. Go see it. Unfortunately, the game, which... for those that may think, the game is not a movie tie-in. It does not follow the movie whatsoever. It's its own story. Probably timeline-wise, it happens between the first movie and the second movie. But the game, I wanted to like it. I really wanted to like it. But they made the game to be played for two people. And if you're only one person trying to play it, it's buggy as all hell. An example was, and I actually had to restart my level from a checkpoint a few times to fix the bugginess. And then I finally raged quit when I could not drop through an access hatch. I hit the jump button to try and fall. I climbed up. I hit backwards. It just hit me around. I hit every frickin' key on the keyboard. Nothing happened. I gave up. I rage quit, and I haven't looked back since. And that's when I wrote the review and gave it a 2 out of 5. I really wanted to like the game, but just too bad. And that's about all we have for this week. We won't be having a podcast next week, and the one after the week after that is kind of tenuous, because on the typical day we would record, I'm flying out to L.A. Next week, I'm at Denver Comic Con. Proteus and Zelda Queen will be walking the floor doing the press thing, while I'll be sitting at a table where I might be all by my lonesome for a while.
What about...
Rampage doesn't have Friday off of work, and he only has half of Saturday off of work.
Ah.
So, I've printed up a limited amount of bookmarks and buttons that I'll be giving away for free. So come by early if you want some buttons and bookmarks. And with that, you can find us at thegameslave.com, on Twitter, at thegameslave, Facebook, thegameslave. You're probably noticing a pattern here.
Google Plus,
The Game Slave. Or you can send us comments, questions, whatever, to mail@thegameslave.com. And we'll see you guys in, I don't know, somewhere between 2 and 3 weeks, probably, given our current schedule.
Yeah.
And game on.
Game on.
Game on.